And Harrison, we've got your conflict amendments, as I understand.
We do, Mr. Chair. We have the B-42 conflict amendment. Hopefully, without going into the questions of the various bills, we have House Bill 3218A, House Bill 3576B, and our current bill, all of which affect the exemptions under public records law. This bill and 3576 are identical in the exemptions, except that they are in reverse order. Both 3576 and 1149 fix a slight difference in 3218. So we have reviewed those, and they do appear to be in order with no substantive changes. I can say more if you'd like to.
Sure. Is there anyone that want to speak to these, and, or somebody make sure they give me a thumbs up that everybody's on board with substantive amendments? Okay, I see thumbs. All right, that's all we're doing. Yeah. All right. So it looks like if there's anybody opposing it, please wave at me too and come up, rush up, and talk about it. Okay. No. B-42 amendment only. And notwithstanding Representative Cruz's amendment, we'll move forward.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cruz.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members, the conflict amendments deal with exemptions to the public records law. What we have is an exemption. There's an exemption from disclosure of personally identifiable information about customers of municipal electric utility and people's utility districts. There is also an exception from disclosure, an exemption from disclosure for sensitive business, commercial, or financial information that's furnished to or developed by a public body that's engaged in delivering electricity or electrical services. The exemptions are fairly similar in all three of the bills. They're identical in two of the bills and pretty similar in 3218. So the six allows for passage or failure of any combination of the three bills.
Another question? Okay. Any other concerns from the committee?
All right. Mr. Cruz. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a whole set of amendments to this bill, but I decided I would like to be able to read the bill in a live debate. And so, in that spirit, I will move the B-42 amendment to Senate Bill 1149.
Representative Cruz moves the B-42 amendments to Senate Bill 1149. Do I have any further discussion? Any opposition? I'll move. Representative Cruz.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1149 as amended to the floor with the DPAT's recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves Senate Bill 1149 as amended to the floor with the DPAT's recommendation. Well, the clerk, well, any further discussion?
Actually, I'd like to go grab my phone.
Okay, that's fine.
Be gentle.
Representative Atkins would like to sing us a song maybe as a poem.
A poem?
Electric D.
Representative Atkinson, do you have a poem?
I have not written an D read poem yet.
We understand that we're asking a lot for you in less than 5 minutes to put together a poem on Senate Bill 1149.
If Johnny Cash had a song on D reg, I'd sing it. Saved by Mercury.
Representative Mercury, do you have any further questions or concerns here?
No further questions or concerns on 1149.
And we are moving the B-4, we have moved the B-42 amendments, and this is the vote on the bill. So if we have no further deliberation, we'll have the clerk call a roll.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Excuse.
Farewell.
Aye. Having a required number of votes, Senate Bill 1149 as amended. Amended. Pass the floor to the House recommendation.
And the chair will be the chair.
Representative Welch will carry. We will close the work session on Senate Bill
1149.
Where the hell going?
Friday afternoon.
Boy, they don't trust us at all.
I don't.
Oh, boy. Penny will, on House Foreign Environment, stand at ease for a moment. Reopen our committee here, and we will open a work session on House Bill 3633.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative of the committee. My name is Harvey Matthews. I work with Speaker Lynn Snodgrass as her education policy advisor, and I will be going over with the help of Lori Wimmer from the OEA.
Very good.
And John Marshall. The amendments we have drafted. There are also just a couple of conceptual amendments that I'll be going over as well. This is a result of a great deal of cooperation, and we have worked very hard to come up with language that I think all parties are, if not satisfied with, agree that this is the best compromise we can make. We have incorporated ideas from CSBC, Board of Higher Education, Oregon State Board of Education, Oregon University System, Oregon Community College Services, Oregon Independent College Association, the Governor's Workforce and Education Policy Committee, our department, Oregon Department of Education, COSA, OEA, OSBA, the Portland Chamber of Commerce, and the Oregon Business Council to reach some level of consensus on this. Serve you, I would like to go over just the amended parts of this and read through them with you so you're in agreement with what they are, and also point out those conceptual amendments. So I may start on Section 1 and Subsection D. For the Department of Education, the language has been changed to shall monitor the implementation of the recommendations, and that is a reflection of the discussions from the Department of Education, OEA, COSA, and OSBA. We have changed this bill to include the 7-member executive committee. There was concern that the people appointed to the full 21-member education leadership team, because some of them were appointed, they would not necessarily be responsive to a constituency. And so we've narrowed that down to 7 members who will be the voting members, which brings about the first conceptual amendment on subsection D, where it says 14 other members. We'd like to insert there 14 other non-voting members, if it pleases you. Uh, direct that is the same, with just a few changes signifying the roles and responsibilities of the executive committee. Subsection 7, we have changed that language to note some of the funding issues associated with this. The speaker has said that she wants to pay for this out of her budget, and the superintendent of public instruction desires control over the personnel and staffing of that. And so you need to make a slight conceptual amendment there. We'd like sub 7 on page 3, starting with line 21, to read, "The legislative administrator shall," and then cross out the next sentence until the word enter occurs. So it reads, "The legislative administrator shall enter into an interagency agreement with the Department of Education to provide staff to the team." And then the next sentence is crossed out. Those are the two conceptual amendments we have, and if it pleases you, I'd continue reading into the changes.
Continue.
Thank you. In response to the Department of Education, we've also lightened up the language and allowed them, the Department of Education, to get information from the Office of Community College Services, Department of Higher Education, and just as a consulting type of relationship to provide assistance to the education leadership team. So it's dropping the language from shall to will be asked to. Nothing has been changed on section 3 has been changed from the actual original, just in its placement and order, but not in anything in relation to its substance. Where we get into significant substance changes is in Section 4, where we start talking about the Education Leadership Summit, which Superintendent Bunn pointed out would be a nice addition to this. Department of Education and, as I recall, the Oregon Education Association also agreed that this would be a good point to bring up. This Education Leadership Summit is going to be held in February of 2000. And it will look at the 5 to 10 issues that the executive leadership team decides are the most important. There will be many groups that are asked to attend, which we'll get to here in a second. And they will.
Before I go any further,
just because the executive team has been identified as 5 to 10 for the purposes of the summit, that doesn't mean that they're limited in scope as far as the work they're doing, does it?
Actually, Chair Walsh and Representative Cruz, the purpose of the leadership team to limit that information is to prepare the invited and public guests to the summit to have the information already prepared. So it is limiting.
I understand that for the purposes of the summit to have it limited to that list, but the team, as far as their working their investigation, I assume they're going to investigate everything, the universe, and at the end of the investigation, and at that point, they will have information gathering universal in this process.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's correct. Thank you. In fact, that brings us to the next point, which we look at the list that has been talked about quite a bit, the laundry list. We have softened up the language there to allow for what the speaker was describing as a list to choose from, but also in subsection 2 and letter V, there can be other educational improvement accountability issues added to this by the group. So hopefully that takes care of your concern, Representative Cruz. Moving on. At this summit, there will be, this is a change, starting in subsection 3, the education leadership team shall invite 2 representatives from each of the following groups. And we have their parents, families, communities, and we describe which member of the leadership team, the executive leadership team, is going to appoint those 2 members to the summit. Let me go on through that list. And also at the end of that, the door is opened up for the public members to also, or any members of the public to be present at this summit. So we're trying to be inclusive and not be a top-down group. We want grassroots involvement in this decision-making process as well. In this section, in subpoint B of section four. The Oregon Education Association, Oregon School Board Association, and Confederation of Oregon School Administrators are all going to select or send 1 representative to the Education Leadership Summit. We want this to be an inclusive summit. We want all points of view to be represented there, and we want to leave that summit with some consensus from the universe of education interest groups. Moving on to Section 5, if I may. This is discussing the subcommittees. They're going to be asked to review the work from the Leadership Summit. So the recommendations from that summit will need to be further carried out. And just describes that the superintendent is going to choose the membership of those subcommittees. They need at least 7 members from the 21-member leadership team. And of those members, there needs to be a representative from schools, school boards, and administration on each one of those teams, or each one of those subcommittees, I'm sorry. Okay, Section 6. We have changed the meeting times from biweekly to once monthly to represent the concerns of both the OEA and the governor's office in scheduling. And that also will affect the cost of this program. And we've also moved back the date that the final recommendations will be expected from April to June to help with some of the concerns that various groups offered on that. So if I may summarize.
Yes, sir.
There's a language that says the team shall meet once each month. I'm wondering if that was let's say for June the process. Maybe we shouldn't have the conceptual change that would allow the team flexibility to meet once each month.
They should meet at least once each month.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At least once each month. That would be very good language.
We have that proposed. Line 25. Okay. Hopefully you end up line 25.
Yeah. It's just a matter of flexibility, I think.
At least once each month.
Yes. Thank you, Representative Cruz. And with that, I may summarize the purpose of this is simply to have our students' best interest in mind as we go through and review the processes already in place in our very complex education system. And we'll start out with a 21-member group that hopefully represents our whole education system, with the seven members voting on focusing issues. We'll have the summit that will involve a larger group of people, hopefully various interests, which we hope to get some consensus from that summit. And then with the last part of this bill, we want to focus that, whatever we have achieved consensus on, focus the efforts of the group into making sure that becomes a reality in Oregon's education system. And I just want to publicly thank especially OEA and COSA and Oregon School Board Association for their hard work on this. And also the Department of Education has spent a great deal of time working on this as well. And your committee for being patient with us. With that, I'd like to entertain any questions.
Questions from the committee? Any further statements from the work group?
I have a question.
Yes. Go for it.
Thank you. I spoke briefly to the speaker about this, but in on page 8, subsection 6 of the top line 3, the education leadership team may accept from any source any grant donation if you care. I think that language is not, I'm not comfortable putting that in there. I think that any monetary contributions from outside the legislative process will look, won't look very good from the public side. And the speaker expressed similar concerns to that, so I'm hoping that that language is not going to be there.
Yes, if I may respond to that, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Representative Corey, thank you. For the record, the summit is going to be funded on page 7, line 31. I'm sorry, we were considering the one of the third or second or first editions of it. It is, it's kind of, as we said, we'd like to recommend that the public or other agencies can involve that. If that money is not raised, then we can certainly go to the emergency board and ask for any additional funds for that. Does that address your concern, Representative Corey?
Not really. I have a problem with, for example, if a business entity or even if the teachers union were to contribute money to this summit, I think that it looks to the public as if they're trying to buy a certain perception or an opinion. I think it sheds light on this team that's supposed to be a bipartisan, you know, involved on many different levels. If we have money coming in, private grants, donations, whatever, from outside, I personally would not take the recommendations as seriously from this group.
So you're suggesting deletion of sub 6, page 8?
I'd be open to changes. If there's a reason for putting that in there that I'm not aware of, that we could change language, otherwise I think we should just delete it.
I mean, the reasoning behind that was, of course, the added expense of the summit was not expected when we first started this, and so it was a compromise with the superintendent that would not be another budgetary thing. And also, I think I appreciate your concern. I think perhaps if we strive for equity from many groups in raising funds, that maybe that could be addressed.
I've been involved in a youth summit that have been sponsored by various groups, and nobody's ever achieved those groups in trying to buy the outcomes of the summit. So I think this is a summit that costs money to put on, there's no question. And sponsorship for something like this is something that's going to be out in the open, and I don't see how that is buying or turning favor in any way. And I to encourage people to want to be involved in this process, I think it's a positive, not a negative.
John, Lori, you have any?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Lori Wimmer, Oregon Education Association. In general terms, we are supportive of this bill with the amendments and thank the Speaker's office for her willingness to work with us on this and also the Department of Education for all their heavy lifting and their ideas. With respect to the specific issue that was just raised, I don't think we have a position in one respect or another. We fully anticipate we'd be one of those who would be asked for funds. That sort of happens a lot. But I don't think we have a particular position in opposition, and when we funded things before, we have not, it has never been quid pro quo money.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Marshall, representing the Oregon School Boards Association. I think one of the issues surrounding this language was if, as Representative Cruz suggested, there was a necessity for more meetings, depending on where the summit was held, there may be some costs associated with that. I think there has been some discussion about the amount that may be in the Speaker's budget to pay for this, the amount that the Department of Education might have available, and this is relatively general kinds of language for a variety of organizations to create the opportunity. We have also been asked for relatively minor amounts for sponsorship of a variety of different kinds of organizational activities and so forth. It would be my hope that should the team need some additional resources, they would certainly not rely on any particular one organization, but might solicit from several, make the amounts affordable to all, so that everybody would contribute for general purpose, unrestricted kinds of things, and no organization would appear to be any kind of a major contributor. I think just in terms of giving this process the flexibility it needs and assuring the resources are available, I think it would be important to leave this here to create that avenue. And certainly those of us that will hopefully be involved in this process and at the table, I can assure you will prevent any single organization from exercising any undue influence, particularly in the area of the appearance of some kind of an impropriety by being a major funder and creating the impression that they're somehow trying to buy the result.
I appreciate the comments. I still feel very uncomfortable with the language, and in fact, I appreciated the idea of having a summit, and I guess it begs the larger question of why do we need to have a summit in addition to having these series of meetings. If we can't afford to do it out of our legislative budget, if we can't find the money in our budget to appropriate to this, then, you know, why don't we do what we say we should do across our state and, you know, tailor this down so that we can fit it within the constraints of our budget instead of going outside of the building and having private entities fund what should be a legislative responsibility, a government responsibility. I still think it will look bad if we have business entities and other people sponsoring a group that's going to propose legislation and that the legislature is going to vote on. And something at this level, which is supposed to be making, you know, major changes in our education system. Thank you.
Other concerns?
Mr. Chair.
Nothing left.
I wanted to explore the presence and involvement of teachers in the leadership team and in the summit. As far as I can tell, page 7, line 4, that there will be two people selected by the superintendent for kindergarten through grade 12 education. That doesn't say teachers. I suppose kindergarten to grade education could be students or teachers or administrators or board members or school builders or curriculum designers. How do we know and how do we guarantee that we get teachers involved in this dialogue?
And Representative Merkley, that was of course a concern of ours as well, and we're satisfied that sub C on page 7, as you've referenced, K through 12 education selected by the Superintendent of Public Instruction will be inclusive of that list will be teachers. Also, if you look down on sub B under 4, the official voice of the teachers, public school teachers in Oregon, is specifically cited as members of the leadership team, participants in the summit. And then finally on page 8, where the strike for public participation is referenced, we expect interested members of our organization, other teachers, would be likely to attend the summit in a less official capacity as well.
If I may add to that, Representative Welsh, Chair Welsh, Representative Merkley, that the 21-member education leadership team will also be present at the summit, and on that leadership team there will be teachers represented. I appreciate your concern.
I would feel more comfortable if it was spelled out more clearly that it was teachers, and I'm also concerned that kindergarten through grade 12 education, if I was an elementary school teacher, I have much different concerns, issues, than if I'm a high school teacher. And I don't know if I'm a high school teacher, or if I'm an elementary school teacher, that I would like a high school teacher making decisions about class sizes. That's mostly a primary grade activity, and it seems like we could spell it out a little bit more clearly than...
Mr. Chair, if I can follow on for that. Going back to page 2 on the education leadership team, line 10, 14 other non-voting members are representatives of the public, parents, school district boards, school administrators, teachers, students, and private college presidents, administrators who are selected by the following appointing authorities. And then, of course, it distributes the appointments. Nothing in that guarantees that a teacher will be represented, because each entity can choose people from a list of approximately 8 different categories: public, parents, school boards, school administrators, teachers, students, presidents, and administrators. Then if I fast forward back to page 7, line 4, two people will be included in online C, kindergarten through grade 12 education. But again, there's nothing that guarantees that a teacher will be one of those two. And finally, the public dialogue or the public participation is in what sounds essentially like an audience. No other roles been laid out for them. Yes, teachers can attend, but they're not integral members of the system leading, of the leadership team leading up to the summit. The evaluation of the summit after the by the leadership team after the summit. I'm very concerned. One of the major criticisms of some of the work on the quality education model was that we didn't have enough teachers involved. And one of the major criticisms of the plan for the 21st century, education plan for the 21st century, was that we didn't have enough teachers involved, enough people who have real life experience in the classroom and understand the opportunities and the challenges involved in modern teaching. And I'm sure it's not the intention of anyone involved here to exclude teachers, but I'm just putting forward the notion we shouldn't leave it to chance. We should guarantee the involvement of a number of teachers in order to avoid the same criticism we've had on several other education efforts.
I guess I'd have a different reading, but if we wanted to make sure everybody was included, we could have a 10,000-member leadership team, and they would do, I'm sure, incredible work. But to say this is up to chance, agreed upon, and I would be incredibly surprised if we didn't have fair representation of all those who needed to be at the table. And for us to micromanage on our level this process when this is basically consensus language, I think would be appropriate.
I think it also is important to note that we have the legislative representative of the Oregon Education Association sitting in front of us, very satisfied with the language that's in this bill that protects the interests of the teachers of the state.
Mr. Chair, if I might add, I failed to mention one other reference that I think is pretty important with respect to these concerns, and that would be on page 8, sub 2 of section 5. I regard the work of the subcommittees that will be doing all the heavy lifting on the issues to be really critical, and that is where we are absolutely guaranteed at least one representative. And given that on each of the subcommittees, and given that that's where a lot of the real brain work will be done, we're satisfied that our representation will be equal to that of our other education partners.
Forgot that one, too. I didn't see it. Remember going up there. Thought there were three references.
Mr. Chair.
Let's say Murphy.
That's an excellent transition to my next question. It's my understanding that the subcommittees come after the summit. And I'm wondering, why not create subcommittees to prepare materials and do work before the summit?
Mr. Chair and Representative Merkley, actually they appear twice in this scheme. I actually had to draw a picture when we were first all talking about it because I'm a visual learner, I guess, but I was drawing boxes. The subcommittees do work on helping sift through the list of issues for discussion and help develop the initial groundwork for the summit with respect to those issues. And then they come back again after the summit is over and there's some work product to delve through in order to come to the level of having recommendations. Again, as I said, I consider that to be where the heavy lifting is done, both before and after.
Yes,
so then maybe you can explain to me what is the purpose of having, in the original bill there was a series of meetings and then the superintendent's idea was the summit, and did we just meld the two together to make everyone happier, or is there really a reason for doing both a summit, and since it's costing so much that we have to go outside the building to fund it, I'm just curious what the rationale was.
Chair Welsh, Representative Kapoor, it was a melding of ideas, but I think it's produced a better product in that we have, in the beginning, a small contingent, a 7-member voting body supported by the subcommittees, focusing on the most pertinent educational issues, whether it be 5 or 10. And then at that point that we open it up to the larger group in the summit and also public interest coming in, and we get full involvement, hopefully, from those various groups. And then there's the hard work at the end of focusing all the comments and all the interest into some cohesive policy that we can all agree to. So it wasn't intended this way, but I think the product is high quality because of that amendment.
So what's the purpose specifically then for the summit piece of it? Is to get more input to...
Yes, President Welsh, Chair Welsh, President Kapoor, I believe the purpose of the summit is to be as inclusive as possible, to publicly encourage members of the educational committee or interested citizens to come and provide their input in this process of honing down where our educational leadership should be focusing on. So I think it's an important step that was lacking in the very first draft.
If I may, just one final point, Chair Welsh and Representative Ford. The vote may not have been intended. I think another benefit that may be something we can look forward to with the summit is that the very notion of this bill as it was originally introduced suggested to me that there simply isn't a lot of understanding of just how sophisticated and comprehensive Oregon's education system is, how many people out there doing what they do, how many linkages there are that are being created every day, how many problem solvers there are, and each of those don't always know about the other. And it is hoped that this summit will shed some light and some publicity and bring together people who would not ordinarily leave their cubicle and be able to talk to each other about what they're doing with hope for a better understanding of what does work as well as what could use improvement.
Yes.
So, after the summit, did people break up into the little mini groups and come up with these, further delve into these issues? And then at what point is the, does the seven-member voting committee then come back together and vote on these issues? I'm sorry, you know, it's kind of complicated.
Chair Welsh and Representative Foy, I appreciate your question. Yes, at the end of this, the voting members of the education leadership team, with consultation from their subcommittees, will focus on the necessary rule changes or legislative actions that need to be taken to implement the, what has been decided as the focus for improving student education in Oregon. Does that answer your question fully?
Yeah, I think it does.
Your graphical example. Draw it all out for you.
I'll get it to the committee afterward if you'd like.
Further questions? Concerns here?
I do have one more question. The superintendent had talked about he was going to have a meeting with Secretary of State and discuss the auditing function of it. I'm wondering what happened. Does anybody know what happened to that conversation? It seems like that's an important accountability piece, and maybe it's not directly connected to this, but if...
Mr. Graydon,
if I may address that, and Mr. McMurdo, I'm sure, is privy to that conversation as well. But actually, within this bill, we do have, Chair Welsh referenced before, that school district auditing is addressed on page 6, line 21, and that is one of the many things that, that this group can decide to focus on. Yeah,
just follow up on that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For your record, Greg McMurdo, representing the Superintendent of Public Instruction. We did have a meeting on Thursday or Friday with Secretary Kiesling and another meeting Monday, so I don't think I have anything I can report yet from that meeting, but there is an interest on Secretary of State's office in at least looking at the general fund function, a portion of school funding. I would also like, I was able to get a hold of Superintendent Bunn, and I want to thank the Speaker's office for the movement they've made on this, but he still does have two concerns that he wanted me to share with you. I think one of the major concerns is an issue that Representative Kavoy brought up, and that is we believe that the summit ought to have some funding. If it is important, if it is an integral part of the bill, then there ought to be some buy-in on the part of the legislature to fund it, just as there is on the part of funding the staff of the team. And he, while I think he is willing to try to raise some of the money, I think he believes he doesn't want to go with his hat in hand to raise the entire amount of money for the summit. The other concern deals with the appointment of the business representatives to the summit. And this is an issue we did discuss with the Speaker, and I appreciate the movement that's been made, but the Superintendent does believe that with respect to business, because there is not really an organization that represents business per se, that it ought to be self-selected, at least among those entities that we know of that represent business. And those entities that come to mind would be the Chambers of Commerce, I suppose OBC, the small business groups, the National Federation, and AOI. So we would suggest that the appointment be made by those groups. If they fail to reach an agreement as to who those appointees would be, then provision be made for the team to make those appointments if, within a reasonable period of time. And secondly, I want to emphasize, we do believe that there's an obligation to put up some money for the summit to show that there is support and that it is important. Other than that, we're very pleased with what the Speaker is saying.
So we have two, and that will be on page 7, appointing from business industry to have a Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industry, right? Be two, like the bear. Thank you.
Chair Welsh, if I may.
Yeah.
The thinking behind this, the superintendent came forth with many suggestions regarding how the appointments were made in this section on page 6 and 7, and specified that the different voting members of the committee should select those, and the only anomaly in that was the industries, and in consultation with the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, we thought that he would be the best selector of, and it would clarify that whole issue. And the argument could be made from any one of these groups, community colleges or higher ed, that they should be selected. So we're trying to maintain some equity there. And that was the thinking behind that.
Yeah, I can see where, coming out of business industry myself, being involved with those four groups in the self-selecting process could be very interesting, I think. I can leave it right there.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries can do a real decent job of selecting two there. Because as it's laid out, I would leave it there. I certainly would. Knowing those groups, having been involved with an issue or two or three for each and every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Chair Welsh, we certainly would not exclude them as public members to come to this group. They should be represented with their various interests in education. We're just trying to clarify their role here.
In the funding.
Do we have a fiscal?
You're a fiscal then, right?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm going to get
yeah. Yeah, we haven't taken this back to fiscal.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Morgan.
Did the team that worked on the agreement, have you made any attempts to ballpark the cost of the summit or any moves in that direction at all?
Morgan, no, we have not, because it's been uncertain how large the summit would be,
mm-hmm.
And indeed with the speakers, with these amendments, the summit has been pared down from what the superintendent originally proposed, which is acceptable to him, but it was sort of a moving target while we were negotiating
mm-hmm.
how many people there would be, so we would have to do a fiscal once we know what this committee ultimately decides to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sir.
The ballpark, I guess I would have a hard time seeing this rising to a level of above $50,000.
Chair Representative Cruz, that may be correct. I can't tell from now. I just don't have a good feel for it. And I have a good feel for what the staffing side will cost. I don't know what the mm-hmm. other side would cost.
Chair Welsh, the summit is going to be presented to the seven members of the voting board by the superintendent. And he'll be laying out the cost and the location and the number of people involved, all those various interests to ascribe a dollar amount to. And so the seven-member executive council will then decide and vote how to do that. And presumably they will take their finances into consideration when doing that.
I would certainly encourage us leaving sub 6 in here, but I don't disagree with Mr. Kapoor either that the importance of this and what we're going through here and the time involved in this and those who are involved and the issues that we want to develop from this and recommendations are very important to the state and to education. And if I think it's important, then I think that this process should then help pay for it and pay the bigger portion. I've never had any problem with the other with other donations to this, but I think that this body should be paying maybe a a good, you know, at least 75-80% of this, and maybe so state it that way. I don't know, but without knowing or having some sort of idea of what the fiscal is, I think it's important, and I think we can fund it that way. I think it is open. I have no problem. There's others in the state of Oregon, may OEA included, that think it's very important. Also want to donate. I have no problem with that. But maybe a stronger statement about what this, how the public body sees this, and what we should be funding, and this is, should be important too. So I don't disagree with Secretary's approach. Yes,
is it appropriate to add language in here that allows the leadership team to go to the e-board for funding for the summit? Or would that require a trip to Raising Union?
I can't tell you for sure what adding language would happen.
Chair Welsh, there is a statement in here, I'm having a hard time finding it right now, but there is a provision in here for extra funds to be gained from the e-board.
Where did you read that?
Sure, I believe the statement in here, although it's not broad enough to include funding of either the team or the summit, and that's provision for funding of certain districts in my opinion. I think it's actually intent that there's be funding. By the way, we have no objection to what's called the gifts and grants clause.
I mean, right.
That's not objectionable, but if you do wish to see that the legislature also makes a commitment and an investment in it, I think you need to put express language in the bill.
Mark Layden, funding. Right, yes. Okay, what could we add? Did you have a discussion on this, Harvey? Is there other input on that particular concern in language?
Well, the point when we were discussing this, it seemed that you're at consensus that we would just accept this between the Department of Education and the Speaker's office. If we were to change that at this point, it would dramatically affect the fiscal, and I would want to consult the Speaker regarding that. But of course, I defer to you as to your wisdom in this.
Well, I always felt that this was going to be the biggest portion funded by this body, and so I just, when the summit was added, there was certainly extra concern, and I guess somewhere around $100,000 was, I think, a figure on the original bill. So then what we're looking at is something that will fund the summit there above.
In the cost of staffing.
Chair Welsh, if the committee feels this is an important direction to go, I think language saying that the legislature should fund over half of the expense going towards the summit would allow for the legislature to have ownership in this, but also allow other groups to donate and get involvement and buy in that direction as well.
So our original, I was incorrect in my statement. I see here our original fiscal here, 3633, shows staff allotment at general fund levels of 247,840. So that, yes,
is there anything in this bill to preclude the school from going to the board?
I don't think there is.
I think the language is already permissive enough. If that needs to happen, it can happen. and the case can be made.
Excellent. And certainly if, you know, we're going to make that basis the percentage level then to what I believe this body will find this and indicate by their vote and support for this, that those appropriations will be adequate to show that we think this is very serious. Thank you, Kara, for providing this. Take a look at that. All right. We have, Kara, will you take us through real quick the conception of these commissioners?
Commission members, as I understand them, on the dash four amendments that we were provided, page 2, line 10, after the word other, insert non-voting. On page 3, line 21, after administrator, insert the word shall, and delete the rest of the line. Delete line 22 in its entirety. And in line 23, delete the first three words. Line 24, after staff, insert to the team, delete the rest of that line, delete lines 25 and 26, and in line 27, delete employees. And we discussed on page 8, line 25, after meet, insert at least.
Is there more, Mr. McNamara?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Frank McNamara, representing the Federation of Oregon School Administrators, and we have been party to some of the discussions since yesterday related to this, and still have a few remaining concerns. One of the things I mentioned yesterday is our concern about where we're going in terms of governance, the relationship of legislature to local districts, and issues of governance in those relationships. And if I could, on page 4, line 17, if you'll note the difference in the language on sub 3, rules to be adopted by State Board of Education, State Board of Higher Education, note the language in legislative proposals for consideration by 5 actions the agency may take that include. I'd like, if you're in a hurry and you're trying to get your amendments in line today, I'd be a lot more comfortable if it was a slower process and we had some opportunity to really present some stuff rather than getting it at the time of the committee and trying to respond. But I think instead of rules to be adopted by, rules for consideration by, which would be the same language as used later. The same thing in sub 6 on that page 4, administrative actions that should be implemented by, might read that, or excuse me, administrative actions for consideration by. On page 5, line 31, what this is the beginning of is a list of things which might be considered going down through the language which says the other improvement accountability issues identified by the team, but it starts with reading and mathematics as top priorities. One of the things the team is otherwise being talked about doing in the bill is to determine what are the priorities, yet it starts with reading and mathematics as top priorities. They may well be, they may well want to be, but if the purpose is to look at all of these issues that have to do with the educational enterprise, it seems to me a little unusual to start with reading and mathematics as top priorities. I would strike the as top priorities in that language. Going to page...
the way I read that is the education leadership team shall concern the quality of education and Is something that should be considered. I don't see that it's necessarily a speaker level or a top priority.
Yeah. But
in relation to top priorities, you know, when they're looking for prioritization, working on these doesn't necessarily take anything away from it either.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hughes, it's at least confusing if what we're doing is looking at a list and trying to determine 5 to 10 priorities, and we start by saying, here's a set that's top priorities. It seems to me that it's at least confusing in terms of what the task is. On page 8,
on that point, if I may interrupt.
Yes, sir.
We, in our discussion with the Education Association, talked about changing that language to reading and mathematics fluency in elementary education, or something to that degree. And we're going to be continuing massaging this language with the parties. So if we don't fix it today, I can assure you that the work will be ongoing in the Senate committee, et cetera, to address this. Thank you for
On page 8, line 25, where you are apparently going to add the language at least once a month, one of the effects of that is cost. And so there's a relationship between that language and the discussion that you're having. That is, if you're going to have meetings once a month, you have a certain kind of cost. If you're going to meet more often than that, you've upped the cost. And I just note that that is in the course of your discussion. The concern Representative Merkley raised about teachers was one that I had, but since OEA was apparently satisfied, I have a similar and a parallel concern about the involvement of principals. The unit that we are generally trying to examine is the local building, the school, and the people that are important in delivering the education at that school are teachers and the principal, and I'm somewhat concerned about whether or not we have accounted for that. I maybe should be as satisfied with that as the other association is with teachers, but it was something that I had noted and wanted to comment on. Relative to this one final comment, Mr. Chair, relative to the summit, I am not clear what the purpose of the summit, what the function is, not what the function of the summit is. It seems to me that the summit is to determine implementation possibilities. That is, the leadership team is going to come up with priorities. They're going to get some input from some subcommittees and research and so on, so they're going to have informed judgments being made about that. They're going to come to the summit, but on page 8, lines 27 through 29, say the participations of the education summit shall report any recommendations for education improvement accountability to the education leadership team. It appeared to me that the summit's purpose is to review the priorities and say, here are ways that these may be implemented, and then it goes back to the education leadership team and their set of recommendations go out to others. I'm just mentioning that because it is not clear to me, even in this most recent draft as I've read through it, what the functions are. In the discussion that we were having earlier, it sounded as if they were going to help determine the priorities. I don't believe that's what the language says. The team is going to determine the priorities. Maybe really the executive committee part of the team, the 7 members, the priorities. And others are providing information about and informing and maybe discussing some kind of implementation possibilities. But it's not anyone else that's dealing with what are the priorities, as I understand it. But if that's the correct understanding, but that wasn't what the discussion was earlier among the members of this committee with Harvey. I thought the discussion was that they were helping to determine what the priorities were. That's not how I read it.
I think Frank does accurately to read that. I think there's a couple other things that the summit purposes it would serve. One is to clearly tell the executive committee and the team if they've made a mistake in their priorities or if they've overlooked something. I don't think we can also underemphasize the importance of buy-in. And frankly, we get that through more participation through a summit.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt the floor here for a moment. I have the same event to attend that Representative Corey had. I'm very reluctant to leave because I know we don't want to forward this on a partisan basis. But I didn't know the will of the chair. Can we consider this, continue this conversation on Monday?
I really wanted to try to get through this out and get it going in the process is what I wanted to, but I didn't want to do that without my full committee either. And if they would just give us an hour and we can meet again at 7.
Just kidding.
Hey,
Mr. Chairman, anything planned tonight, did you?
As a matter of fact.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll put this. I would appreciate the annual proposals of the committee if we could pick this up on Monday.
Chair Welsh, if I may.
Harvey.
No.
This is not here. If this does go to the floor, it, because it has a fiscal, it will also need to go to Ways and Means where this can be worked. Since we're focusing primarily on changes to the fiscal, that, I believe, can be done at that point. It's a concern that because of the time and the sessions that this get out of committee today, if at all possible. I would hate to think that you all have wasted your Friday afternoon for to just refer this to Monday.
Well, it is kind of difficult to move it without all my members here too, and if we're really looking for a nonpartisan bill here, so I don't like to move it out just for the few that we have. And I'm not sure. How long was that? Merkley, how long was it?
It was until 6, but we hold it may go longer.
Okay. All right.
Bring him back for a minute. Mr. Chair, I think there's also a useful opportunity that it would give the stakeholders a chance to scrutinize it. I know it's all moved very quickly. I noticed one more issue just as we were talking on page 8 and 9. Actually, starts on page 8 and then continues on subsection 4, prior to June 1st, 2000, forward those recommendations to the appropriate governmental entities for action as required. I'd suggest that should probably read for consideration as required by Section 3 of the 1999 Act, since we've taken out the compelling language. I did ask for the opportunity to circulate this with members of the two school boards I represent and the superintendents and my staff that faxed it immediately on getting it. I did receive one phone call back, which I returned while the committee was in process, the gist of which is that the particular superintendent I talked to asked me if it would be possible for her to take a closer look at it over the weekend and consult with the members of the school board in giving me feedback on it. I think I think there'd also be an additional advantage by waiting until Monday, as we might be able to get a little bit more feedback and double check the language fixes and have everyone in attendance with anything forward. And I really think, and I should say in the process, that I really think that it's very clear this is going to go forward on a, I can't speak for the rest of my members, but it looks to me like it's very clear it'll go forward on a bipartisan consensus basis by the players, because it's clearly been workable plans been put together here. So it's not my intent in delaying this to Monday to obstruct it from going quickly forward at that point.
Okay.
And I would be happy to concur in suspending the rules in order to make these conceptual amendments that have been noticed, that we can have a clean copy for Monday, and maybe that also would accelerate the process for consideration.
Cool. I'm not sure either. Any other comments? Okay, we're going to stand at ease.
Okay, we'll reconvene. Hop one and Vine. We are in work session. I opened in work session.
Sure.
Let's approve.
I move the conceptual amendment to the draft amendment.
Let's approve. Move conceptual amendment to the dash four amendment to House Bill 633.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Say correctly.
Is it the chair's intention to move the bill?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to leave then, because if I stayed, it would be for the purpose of objecting, because actually now consent is required. So I'm disappointed that we're moving it on a partisan basis, and I think it would be wiser to wait till Monday, but I respect the chair's choice, and I'll leave you all to do your work.
Thank you very much. And have a great weekend. We have a motion for the conceptual. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Any opposition? Hearing none. So moved.
I move the dash 4 amendment as conception amended to House Bill 3633.
Representative Cruz moves the dash 4 amendments to House Bill 3633 as conceptually amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Any opposition? Hearing none. So moved. Representative Cruz.
Made House Bill 3633 as amended and conceptually amended to the floor with the Speaker's
recommendation. Representative Cruz moves House Bill 3633 as amended and conceptually amended to the floor with the Speaker's recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Excuse.
Aye.
Excused. Aye. Having a required number of votes, House Bill 3633 as amended passes to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and we'll have on the floor to allow the speaker to carry. Okay? And we'll continue our work. This is a work in progress, as I understand, and everybody's recommendations and possible amendments, I think, are very good ones, and I'm sure they'll be so noted and continue to work on. So,
Mr. Chairman,
thank you,
just make a comment. It is so gratifying and so positive to see all these divergent people come together around this great idea and make it a better idea and move it ahead. I think this is just a super example of the way this building should work.
All right.
And then one discussion I should do with that one.
Yeah, we get through some other issues with that. Okay. We are closing our work session on Senate Bill, House Bill 3633. And no further business for the day, we adjourn.